Thank you, Claire. They say that practice makes perfect. I'm not sure I completely agree. It certainly makes it better. It shows an improvement, and practice certainly makes a skill easier. In my professional life, I know a fair bit about practice. I work as a music teacher. I teach piano and a bit of violin. And I, over the years, maybe not so much recently, but over the years, I've spent many, many, many hours of practice. Practice, as opposed to just playing, can be boring. It can be isolating, and it can be very repetitive, because that is how you get it into your fingers and into your muscles. But you have to go through that stage in order to get the freedom of being able to express what the piece of music is about. And as a teacher, it's something I say a lot to my students, about a little bit of practice, a little and often, makes all the difference. It's far better to do a little and often than leave it to the night before your lesson and then do an hour. And of course, if you are into other disciplines such as sport, you also know about practice and training. And when it gets hard going and it feels like you're not getting anywhere, having the encouragement or the example of another is always really beneficial. To the people in Philippi, Paul is that example. He is their encourager. He knew exactly how they were living, for he had lived among them. He had brought many of them to Christ. And at the end of the previous chapter, he's keen to point out that though he faces hardships for his beliefs, perhaps their motivation and wishes he was not in prison, he has still been able to preach the good news. The people of Philippi should not be discouraged, but live in unity, for together they can support one another and maybe have a greater effect on those they live amongst. Being harmonious together fills Paul's heart with joy. But Paul is not asking them just to follow his example. He's asking them to follow the example of someone far greater and perfect, the example of Jesus, who came to earth as one of us. He chose to become like a servant or a slave, something that they would have had first-hand experience of, and serve those people who eventually would send him to his death. Jesus served not just his friends, but his enemies. And he lived his life serving the interests of others over his own. And he lived a life of complete obedience. He refused to use his power for quick gain. The Philippians, of course, knew this, but perhaps they needed reminding. We know it's harder to keep up a discipline when your teacher is no longer there, and it's easier to fall into the ways of the world. I was reading this morning about the parable of the lost sheep and how easy it is for sheep just to nibble that bit of grass that's a bit further away, and before you know it, you're lost. And perhaps it was like that for the Philippians. They needed reminding that it was about putting others first and that living in unity required practice. Perhaps their motivation was being tested. Had they in the past done these things in order to please Paul? Perhaps they were having to be reminded that they had to learn to do it for themselves, but more importantly, for God. Sometimes you need to start again and begin to nurture the seed that God had planted in them. Need to support each other and nurture new believers and be an example to them. Paul is encouraging a form of spiritual discipline, the spiritual practice of service. Now, discipline is one of those words that has negative connotations We think about it in terms of correcting behaviour. We think about discipline procedures at work. But the true meaning of the word discipline is to learn or to teach, and it comes from the word disciple. We too are called to the spiritual discipline of service. If you've read or followed the Holy Habits book by Andrew Roberts, you'll know that service is one of those spiritual disciplines and spiritual habits. And it's part of the seed that God has planted within each one of us, which we are called to nurture through relationship with Him. We discern God's will through prayer and Bible study, and part of that life is living a Christ-like life and looking to the interests of others instead of our own. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and to love our neighbour as ourself. When we are young, be that spiritually young or physically young, we are more concerned perhaps about if we have the biggest piece of cake, or at least an equal slice. I remember many arguments with my younger brother about who had the biggest slice, and it wasn't fair if it didn't seem that we had an equal portion. But as we mature, we might look to others to check that no one has a smaller piece than anyone else. But of course, life is about things beyond cake. Serving the needs of others over our own influences many areas of our lives. The areas of justice, how we use our money, caring for others. Not just loving our neighbours as ourselves, but loving them more than ourselves. And that comes down to everyday things too. At the beginning of this last week, the Prime Minister and his advisers did a broadcast from Downing Street. And Professor Chris Whitty said, "You cannot, in a pandemic, just take your own risk. You're taking a risk on behalf of everyone else." It's a stark reminder that if we choose not to socially distance or wear a mask, it's not about just our own risks. It's about putting our needs over the needs of others. And perhaps we should be addressing it in the other way. We have a duty to always be looking out for the needs of the next person more than the needs of ourselves. The psalm that's appointed for today is Psalm 25, and in that he says, "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." In Philippians, verse 13, Paul tells us that God is at work in us. "If we then put our ego first, there is no room for anyone else's needs because we're too full of our own." But parking our own ego is hard when we try to do it in our own strength. But with God's help, anything is possible. Having the discipline of keeping close to God requires practice. It takes time and effort, but in it comes freedom. And in serving others, being with them, not doing for them, but being with them and being alongside them, in doing that, God blesses us. Now, just because I'm standing here saying this does not mean that I'm brilliant at it. I need as much help as the next person. And when I preach, I'm often preaching to myself. But I know that the more time I spend with God, the easier it is to work out what He has worked in. The more I practice this spiritual discipline, the easier it comes to me. And in that, it becomes easier to put the needs and interests of others over my own.